This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Now, the term arthritis brings to mind painful joints, but there are many different types of arthritis. And a condition called psoriatic arthritis, while it is probably as painful and debilitating as the more common form of osteoarthritis that we are aware of, there are key differences as well, namely that psoriatic arthritis is an autoimmune condition and it can increase your risk of developing other health problems. So how do patients living with psoriatic arthritis manage their condition, especially during a pandemic of an infectious disease that probably places them at additional risk? Today, I'm speaking to Dr. Shyamala K. Rajalingam, consultant rheumatologist and exco of the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia, to find out more. Dr. Shyamala, thank you so much for joining me today. Perhaps we can better understand what is psoriatic arthritis in the first place, because some of us may know about psoriasis, some of us know about arthritis. How do they come together?
So psoriatic arthritis and psoriasis are basically part of a psoriatic disease. It's a systemic condition. And as we all know, psoriasis is a skin condition. However, arthritis is when the same issue happens over the joints. So what am I talking about? I think this all comes under what we call an autoimmune condition. In psoriasis, it is basically an overgrowth of your skin cells. However, when it's affecting your joints, you complain of pain and swelling. And the commonly affected joints are mainly your small and large joints, and less commonly, our spine. So not every psoriatic patient will have psoriatic arthritis. It only affects about 30% to one-third of our psoriasis patients.
How does it go from this affecting the skin to affecting the joints? What determines some patients who may develop it in the joints and some may not?
Okay, the short answer to that is that we don't know. Okay, however, we do know that both of them are an autoimmune condition whereby your body immune system, instead of protecting you, starts attacking your body itself. So primarily, it's affecting our joints and skin, but it can, to a lesser extent, affect other organs. So there is a common belief that it is an interplay of our genetics and the environment. So something in the environment triggers our genetics. And this can be, you know, like a trauma or an event in your life or a virus that we still do not know about. So patients with psoriatic arthritis will probably have psoriasis preceding the onset of the joint issue up to 10 to 20 years. And suddenly they notice maybe a joint which is swollen or a muscle which is achy or, you know, the feet which is not as comfortable as before. And only then do they come out and, you know, speak to their doctors about it.
Could those kinds of symptoms be brushed off as something else?
Yes, sadly it can be. And that's the frustrating part about psoriatic arthritis. It can sometimes take months to years to get to a diagnosis. So we've got situations where patients turn up to a GP complaining about maybe pain at the soles of their feet. So most of the time, it's brushed off as, you know, plantar fasciitis. Some will come complaining about muscle aches or even saying the joint over the knee is painful. But when there's no swelling, most doctors will brush it away. Lo and behold, 5 to 10 years down the road, they start having other features to suggest that, you know, this is not a simple wear and tear or trauma. And only then patients or doctors take it seriously.
5 to 10 years, that's a long time.
Yes, that is very, very sad. And that is what in Arthritis Foundation of Malaysia we are fighting for, because we want patients to be aware. We want patients to come forth early. Because as you know, in any disease, the earlier you treat it, you have a better prognosis.
What are the other features that they would, you know, that would eventually then, you know, drive them back to seek medical opinion again?
Okay, so I think the weird part about psoriatic arthritis is that it is such a heterogeneous disease. When I mean heterogeneous, I mean that it can not only affect your skin and joints, so that's what we all know, but in fact, you can have things like nail changes can be very subtle. You'll have changes in your nail bed. And other things that you will notice is, you know, little rashes that people ignore. And these are your psoriatic rashes that can happen over your anal cleft at the back of your buttocks area. They can happen over your scalp, and people keep thinking this is dandruff and brush it away. Or you've got patients who, you know, just come in with saying, I've got pains in my soles of my feet because I've been standing too long, or it's my job. So, you know, these are the subtle features that may precede. I mean, I do not blame doctors for not recognizing it. I'm sure I've missed a few too. But it's a very common feature that, you know, the general public has. So if you do not look hard or do not ask, you may not clinch a diagnosis.
You know, when you talk about a joint pain, is it like muscle aches that we tend to dismiss as, like you said, I've been standing on my feet for too long, or I've sort of pulled something? Would it be similar?
Yes, it is very similar, actually. Mm. So, of course, if it's happening in one joint, most of us will ignore. But if it's happening in a few joints, then we start taking, you know, taking it into consideration.
You know, but you mentioned that typically they would have had psoriasis perhaps 10 to 20 years before that. So wouldn't that be at the top of your mind already, that you know you have psoriasis, and therefore if you start developing something else like one of these aches and pains and swelling, that those two should be linked together?
Yes, you're right. Because like I mentioned earlier, only one third of patients with psoriasis do get psoriatic arthritis. So we're talking about 70% who don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in this 30% who do or may get, it may just be one joint. And if you have got no awareness of the fact that your skin can proceed or, you know, progress onto a joint issue, you may not even be aware of it. And most patients with skin conditions, if your skin is only affected less than 20% of your body, you may not even be seeing a doctor regularly. You may be buying creams over the counter and, you know, it stays quiet. So you will never turn up to a doctor in the first place. So I think it's well known among dermatologists that any patient who's got psoriasis, if they start complaining about joint pain or, you know, soles of the feet pains, or what we call enthesitis, they do send them over to the rheumatologist for further evaluation.
But you are right. I mean, I guess that's conditional upon the person, the individual having had their psoriasis properly diagnosed and them knowing or being aware of the progression in the first place. So, I mean, I guess perhaps this is a good time to become aware of how psoriasis presents as well, because if that's being missed, then what more the arthritis part, right?
You're right. I mean, sometimes it's quite difficult to even make a diagnosis of psoriasis because it can look very much like eczema rashes. So, you know, if you were going to use an over-the-counter steroid base cream, it may keep it at bay for a while, only to flare up at certain conditions.
Mm. So, how would you distinguish psoriasis and eczema then?
Okay, so for to start off with, eczema is very itchy. Psoriasis is not an itchy rash. It is basically an overgrowing of your skin. So you will have it in certain areas of the body, which can be quite obvious over the flexors of your arms or your knees. And it can also happen in hidden areas, such as just around the umbilicus, which is our
belly button.
Our belly button, right? Versus our anal cleft. So these are the hidden areas of psoriasis. But to be sure, of course, some dermatologists would perform a skin biopsy.
What does so we've talked about, you know, the importance of recognizing psoriatic arthritis when it does develop. But is there a typical picture as well of how someone with psoriasis may progress into the arthritis, and how, when the joint problems develop, how does that progress as well? I know you already said it's very heterogeneous. One person is so different from another. Is there any way of knowing how this will play out?
Okay, no, there is no way of predicting how your rash can progress onto your joints. However, there are some clues, to be honest. So it has been well known that most patients with skin conditions will present maybe with nail changes. So, you know, if it is very severe, they might go on to have certain joint involvement, maybe swelling and pain of the joint.
What kind of nail changes? What do they look like?
Okay, you've got discoloration of the nails, what we call onycholysis. You've got pitting, tiny pits over the nails. Changes over the nails that are not normal. And it's very typical of psoriatic arthritis, actually. So the common word is onycholysis and pitting.
Pitting meaning small holes.
Yes, small holes on the nail bed.
And then you were saying about joints as well.
Yes.
Will the changes and the problems with the nail, the joints, continue to get worse? Does the swelling increase, the pain increase as well?
To be honest with you, the amount of nail involvement does not correlate with the joint involvement. Some patients who may have one or two peripheral joint involvement, i.e. over your legs or your feet, and then have some pain over the back. So spinal involvement is another hidden issue for simple reason that most patients will have back pain. And it's very common, especially these days when we're all working from home and sitting in non-ergonomically proven chairs. So you end up with pain over your lower spine. However, the clue to that is that if the pains are worse on prolonged sitting, but better with getting up and moving, that suggests to you that it's an inflammation kind of pain and you should seek further help. So other areas that can be affected will be your neck and the lower spine area. Okay, so now the other thing that you can see over your fingers is something called dactylitis, where there is sausage-shaped swelling of the whole finger, which is a bit atypical from a simple swollen joint, i.e. there is swelling of both the joint and the tendons surrounding it. So that could be certain clues that, you know, doctors or even the patients can pick up and see a rheumatologist about.
All right. Let's go for a quick break. And when we come back, I want to find out a little more about what living with psoriatic arthritis and its management would look like. We'll go a little bit into treatment, especially advances in treatment, look at, I guess, what's the outlook for people living with psoriasis and especially when it progresses to psoriatic arthritis. I'm speaking to Dr. Shamala K. Rajalingam, a consultant rheumatologist. She's also the exco of the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia. We're discussing psoriatic arthritis and especially how to support people with this condition in this COVID era. So we'll be right back on Health and Living BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. On the show with me today, consultant rheumatologist Dr. Shamala K. Rajalingam. She's also exco at the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia. We're discussing psoriatic arthritis. What exactly is this condition? It's an autoimmune condition that develops from psoriasis, something that some of us may be aware of, that skin condition characterized by an overgrowth of skin cells. For 30%, about one third of people who have psoriasis, they may go on to develop problems in their joints, and that's what we term as psoriatic arthritis that we've been discussing. Now, Dr. Shamala, I know with psoriasis, there are flare-ups that people have to live with and learn how to manage. Is it the same as in the case of psoriatic arthritis as well? Are there flare-ups?
Yes, of course. I think in any autoimmune disease, you will go through times of what we call flares and, of course, times of what we call remission, flares and remission. So this is very common in any autoimmune disease. So the common cause of flares will be if you're going through any stressful situation in your life, certain infections, and, of course, recently we saw certain flares happening after the COVID vaccination. So just like our skin, if you were treated and were in control prior to having any of these changes in your life, things don't flare up as much. But if your joints were never controlled well and you were not treated, it is very common for the flare-ups to progress and cause further deformity of your joints.
How bad do the flare-ups get? And, you know, when you were describing earlier, pain in the joints, the swelling, the aching problems. Now, if we look at it in the context of an individual's daily routines, how bad do these flare-ups get and how do they disrupt their ability to work or move around and all of that?
A flare-up can be very frustrating. I mean, it can basically cause changes in your life, in the sense that it's going to affect your working ability. So you have to remember that most arthritic patients, especially immune-related arthritic patients, are young. These are the patients who may be the sole breadwinner and who are actively working. So a simple flare-up, even in your knee joint, can put you back 2 weeks of, you know, leave and probably hospitalization if it's severe. And if this coincides with the flare-up of your skin, it can affect you emotionally, it can cause an embarrassment, and a lot of patients do end up seeking some form of psychological help. So I think it's important for the doctor to spend time with the patient explaining all this prior to initiating treatment. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes it's not just the medications that work, it's the rehabilitation process, and of course, it's the counseling that really helps.
What takes place in rehabilitation?
In rehabilitation, we have good help from our physiotherapy and occupational therapists. So let's say you come in with a flare-up of your knee. It is easy for the doctor to probably treat that knee, get you better. But do not forget, when you have a flare-up of your knee, you're not going to move the joint. So there's a lot of muscle atrophy. You're not mobilizing as much. So a physiotherapist is going to help you get that muscle bulk back up, strengthen that muscle so that your ability to walk and carry on living is, you know, better. So an occupational therapist may help in terms of providing you some form of walking aid as a temporary basis until you're better. So the doctor's role here definitely complements the physiotherapist and the occupational therapist. And of course, the psychological help the patient gets from the family is the most important.
Mm. Are flare-ups inevitable, though? Earlier you mentioned that if the condition has been managed or controlled well, you could reduce flare-ups happening or being triggered by those things like stress and infections and all of that. Does that mean that you could potentially go with very, very few flare-ups if you control it well?
Yes, you're right. If you get your psoriatic arthritis controlled right from the beginning, you hardly do get a flare-up. However, it is inevitable that patients do their own experiments, reduce their medication doses, or even, you know, miss appointments. So when there is a missed medication, inevitably there will be a flare-up. Please don't forget, this is an immune-related condition. We cannot cure your disease, but we can control it. So the control aim, of course, is to get you medication-free, but that may take years. And I always tell my patients this, we're talking, you know, along the lines of 3 to 4 years before we get you controlled at times. And if once you're controlled over 2 years, we will reduce your medication. So, of course, during our reduction in medication, there is a chance that you may flare up. If so, dose of medications may rise up again. However, there is a chance 6 months down the road, we reduce that dose again. So it's a very important counseling session that happens between the doctor and the patient. And hence, you know, it's been well known that rheumatologists spend the most time with their patients because the patient needs to empower themselves to understand the disease before we can actually tell them what to do. So if the patient decides that, you know, I'm not going to take my medications anymore, yes, you're allowed to do that, but you have to live with the consequences that your joints can get deformed. I always tell my patients this, this is not a life-threatening condition, okay? We can control you, and the hope is that you lead a normal life. But of course, there are times when you may have a simple flare-up. So let's say there's a hormonal change, you're going through menopause, you're having, you're getting pregnant. Those are the times that we will encourage you to come and see us more often so that we can change the doses of your tablets.
And deformity, you know, if it does progress to that point without proper management, it would lead to some pretty severe disability, wouldn't it?
Yes, it could. And that is why our hope is with current treatment modalities, disabilities do not happen anymore. You know, the days of us seeing patients in wheelchairs because of arthritis are long gone. These days, patients present much earlier and you don't see much deformities anymore.
So what does treatment look like? Is treatment the same as what you would use to treat the psoriasis in the first place?
So like I mentioned earlier, treatment can be similar or differ according to the dominant areas affected. So like I said earlier, if your skin is most dominantly affected, you will tend to stay under the dermatologist. However, if you've got other issues such as your joint involvement or your spinal involvement, the rheumatology plays a big part. So I'm sure you've heard of something called disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. So there are a few that help with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. And of course, over the last decade or so, we have got something called biologics. And biologics has certainly changed the treatment landscape for both psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis in helping patients get more effective treatment and, of course, achieve clearer skin and no deformities. Biologics first came into the market in US and was FDA approved in 2003. And since then, we have many biologics to help us treat our patients.
Are there fewer side effects with the use of biologics?
Of course, any medication comes with potential possible side effects. So it is important prior to a patient going on to biologics, they are counseled. They are screened for possibility of certain infections prior to initiating. And on initiating, they will be screened and monitored closely. So the possible side effects in living in an Asian country is something called tuberculosis. And this is heavily screened prior to the initiation of biologics.
You know, earlier you mentioned that some patients may go off their medications. What might be some reasons for patients being unable to stay on the regimen? Is cost a problem, for instance, or perhaps the side effects are too much for them to take?
I think you really hit it on the nail, to be honest, Ani, because the main challenge that we have with biologic therapy per se is the cost. Cost is a major issue in most of our patients. Let's face it, biologics can cost you between $30,000 to $40,000 a year. So this is a huge burden on anybody, even somebody of the middle class, because that is a huge chunk. Okay, so there are times when, you know, certain help comes in through the government aid or insurance, but this may not be sustainable. So there are times when patients may have some form of help for about 2 years, and then we have to do things like weaning off the biologics and putting on to tablet forms, which may not control them as well. So that's our biggest challenge, cost.
What happens then?
That's a very sad situation indeed. Sadly, me being in the private sector, I do see patients who get help a lot from insurance. However, when the insurance runs out or there are limitations, I do seek help from my government public sector colleagues in treating these patients. So I will admit, sadly, at times, patients do not get the most appropriate treatment. But of course, prior to getting onto biologics, we as rheumatologists will screen if there is actually a need for them to be even on the treatment. So, you know, don't get me wrong, out of 100 patients, only 20 to 30% do need biologic therapy. 70% are controlled with our simple medication. But identifying that 30% is most important.
Are there other, perhaps, non-medical therapies that could help, manage and control the impact as well?
That is a very important question where we live, because in Asia, a lot of my patients will tend to try a lot of supplements. Okay, so there are patients who will, of course, try traditional medication, supplements, thinking it may help. I will not deny that so far there is much research going on into this area. However, up to today, we know there is no supplements to help. Of course, we've got things like turmeric, which comes with some anti-inflammatory properties. You know, you've got patients who get confused with osteoarthritis and things, certain things like glucosamine may help, but it doesn't. The only thing that may be helping environmentally for a psoriatic arthritis patient is losing weight. So research has shown that obesity plays a big part, And the simple reason being that your fatty tissues can cause a lot of issues in arthritic patients. Of course, if you're heavy, you're going to put more stress onto your joints also. So at the moment, one of the main therapies that every psoriatic arthritic patient must do is lose some weight. Keep to the ideal body weight as much as you can. That will in return reduce your risk of getting metabolic syndrome, which is also associated with psoriatic arthritis.
What about exercise?
Exercise plays a huge part. Okay, like I mentioned earlier, any joint affected puts you, you know, maybe back about 2 weeks. Exercise will get you back in terms of strengthening your muscles and, of course, making you feel better. So rehabilitation in any joint issues plays a big part, and that is why we seek help from our physiotherapists. But, you know, the difficult part is getting our patients to come. Patients always feel when, you know, the doctor's medication is supposed to do the trick, but it doesn't. Not always. You do need to do your own rehab and exercise. It's very important, and, you know, that needs to be drilled into everybody.
Where do you think that's coming from, that sort of reluctance to look beyond this the miracle of medications?
Well, I think we're all used to, you know, popping a pill and we feel better the next day. The wonders of, you know, something called prednisolone, steroids, Panadol to help. However, I think the reluctance comes with the fact that, you know, working on rehab takes time. It's not going to be a wonder drug. You're not going to build your muscles over a day or two. It's going to take weeks. And of course, coming to the hospital to undergo a physiotherapy session is not cheap either. Okay. So, and if somebody is unable to actually come physically, they're going to need help from a family member. That's going to take time too. So I think there are lots of barriers to rehabilitation. So of course, you know, if you can get a physiotherapist to come to your home and help you in the rehab process, that will fasten things up.
But we know that there is a reason for this investment, right, in the effort that we should invest. It's because you have talked about it, you can potentially actually, get patients off medications, in fact. So what is that outlook? When psoriasis is well controlled, what can patients look forward to?
If your psoriasis is well controlled, definitely you can look forward to weaning off your medications and maybe one day coming off it altogether. Does that happen regularly? I would say yes, it does, if the patients are compliant. Okay, so we have got situations where patients may be compliant for about 2 years, they start feeling better, and then they stop coming to see the doctor, right? And that's the sad part. And the worst part about this immune-related issues is when you wean off your medication suddenly, things come back with a vengeance. But if you will wean off your medications gradually, things tend to stay quiet, actually.
And when you say stay quiet, or, you know, if you can eventually get off the medications, are we talking about going back to the pre-arthritis, you know, condition, healthy joints?
Yes, I am. Okay, so your initial inflammation may have caused certain mild damage. That is inevitable. You may have maybe, you know, a 30% loss of function of that joint. But when you come off your medication, that 30% stays that level. It's not going to worsen. So, of course, it's important for the patient to be aware that arthritis can happen. You can have something called a flare-up. And it's important to note when it happens. And please seek medical help as soon as possible.
All right. Now, when we come back from this next break, just a quick sort of look at how COVID-19 has affected people living with psoriatic arthritis, whether vaccinations are safe and recommended for them, and how will they navigate this idea of COVID-19 being endemic. How do they live with COVID-19? I'm speaking to consultant rheumatologist Dr. Shamala K. Rajalingam. She's also EXCO at the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my guest, Dr. Shamala K. Rajalingam, consultant rheumatologist and an exco at Arthritis Foundation Malaysia. We're discussing psoriatic arthritis. We've gone through a lot on the basics of how this condition develops from psoriasis and autoimmune disorder, why it's so important to control it well, control the inflammation well with proper treatment and medications. Some challenges that patients do face in accessing the treatment, but Dr. Shamala is also very positive in the outlook that you can have if you do control your condition well. Just very quickly, Dr. Shamala, let's look at COVID-19, this pandemic. Because psoriatic arthritis is an autoimmune condition and people with it are immune compromised, are they more susceptible to catching COVID-19?
I think that's a very big and hot topic these days, isn't it? Okay, so you're right. COVID-19 pandemic is really an ongoing medical challenge. And I think it's very challenging, especially for our autoimmune patients. So to be honest with you, current research has shown that patients most at risk of developing, you know, higher severity and mortality are among the elderly and, of course, those with a comorbid condition. And the well-known comorbid condition so far is your hypertension and obesity. But let's not forget, autoimmune disease is also a big comorbid condition. However, interestingly, I have to tell you that that is not always the case in the COVID-19. Okay, so on one hand, it's been shown that immunomodulatory medications that we do use for our psoriatic arthritis patients has been used to treat severe COVID itself. Okay, so theoretically, it is actually a protection. Okay, and up to current data we have, it hasn't been shown that psoriatic arthritis patients, or let alone any immune-related patients, do have a worse outcome. But of course, more research is needed in this area. Okay, so the largest study to date had about 600 patients in multiple countries, and this was a rheumatology registry. And what it's shown that most of our rheumatology patients recovered quite well from COVID-19.
Okay.
However, if they were already taking high doses of steroids, you know, they were elderly and having other comorbidities, then yes, their risk of having severe COVID is the same as the general population.
Mm.
So I would tell all my psoriatic arthritis patients, please don't worry. You know, it does not mean that you're going to have a worse outcome, but please get your disease under control.
Mm. What about vaccinations? Are COVID-19 vaccines safe for people with psoriatic arthritis?
Yes, it is. It is very, very safe. We have got some, short studies that have shown that it may flare up the disease. But of course, we will not send you to go and vaccinate yourself until the disease is under control. So it's important that any rheumatology patient is closely followed up, and if the doctor feels that they're ready for their vaccination, please go ahead. But of course, if they're having a flare, that is not the right time to have the vaccine.
Mm, all right. Some immune compromised people may need a fourth dose. What's the evidence on this right now?
Okay, so worldwide, we tend to follow the American or European guidelines, which says that yes, with time, all rheumatic patients may receive a fourth booster. Okay, and this is especially important for those who are receiving immunosuppressive or immunomodulatory therapy. So we're talking about patients on biologic therapy. Why is that? Because it's been shown that only after your third or fourth booster would you actually acquire the full immunity. So I think the current guideline says yes, especially for those with any underlying autoimmune diseases.
All right. Anything to be concerned about with regard to breakthrough infections then with people who have gotten their full complement up to the booster currently?
To be honest with you, no, there isn't. We do not see an increased risk of infection or increased risk of severe COVID or worsening of the disease flare. We do not see that as yet.
Mm. How are your patients coping? How have they been coping during the pandemic and now as we start to transition towards endemicity?
I think, to be honest with you, this pandemic has really had a very strong negative impact on all of us. And that includes all my patients, actually. So I've had patients, you know, at the beginning calling me up and saying, oh, you know, I'm on this drug. Do I need to stop it? Do I need to carry on? Do I need to reduce the dose? And today, the question has changed to, should I be taking the vaccine? What will happen if I do take the vaccine? Can I stop my medications when I go for vaccination? So yes, these are all very, very valid questions. And I think with time, after counselling, most patients are quite receptive to having vaccination, and they're quite receptive and well-versed about how this current pandemic has affected them. So in the early days, we had patients missing appointments because they were worried to come to the hospital. Today, we noticed that, you know, patients are aware that post-vaccination, you are safe. You know, you're not going to get a severe disease. Please come and get your medications continued. So I think things have changed over the last 2 years. And I'm hoping with time that we're going to come back to normality.
So what would normality look like for people with autoimmune disorders?
Normality would look like what it did 2 years ago. Patients came for our follow-up. They continued with their medications. They called us if they had side effects. And of course, everybody went back to work as usual. I think the most important thing in any patient counseling is the fact that patients know that the doctors are just a phone call away, that they are able to call them and discuss, because rheumatology is a lifelong condition. I always tell my patients this, I will never discharge you from your clinic, my clinic, but you'll probably see me less often when you're well and a bit more often when you're unwell. Okay. And the important thing about rheumatology is most of our patients are females. So, you know, we have to go through pregnancy with them. We have to go through menopause with them. So it's a lifelong journey, and that journey is not going to be linear at all.
Mm. What support does AFM, the Arthritis Foundation, offer?
Okay, Arthritis Foundation is it's an NGO. It was set up many years ago by patients and a few of our pioneer rheumatologists. And the aim was to actually provide support for our patients. So that support can be over the phone, can be face-to-face. We've got many leaflets to help them read about their diseases. And there are what we call funds to help with biologic therapy. But I have to admit, these days, that's even becoming a problem. With the current pandemic, funds are running low. In the past, we had funds to help patients do knee replacement or hip replacement. These days, the funds are much, much lesser due to less donations coming in. I think with time, we are planning to increase this. And I think with more awareness, hopefully the public is willing to donate to AFM.
All right. So people can find out more information, I guess. Perhaps patients or their caregivers could go to your website or your social media sites to find out, right?
Yes, please. There is an AFM website that you can look at. There is also an AFM button that says, please donate. We have got online physiotherapy sessions that you can join in. So please do come and look us up.
Mm. A final message, Dr. Shamala?
I think the key challenge in any rheumatological issue is making a diagnosis. And I think once you have made the diagnosis, it is important that, you know, timely therapeutic interventions are made. So it's very important that the patient works together with the doctor in coming to a conclusion and coming to a treatment plan for them. I think it really is a journey once a patient is diagnosed, okay? And the journey will only get better, I promise you. So our hope is for you to feel and get back to your normality. And for most patients, it's a very satisfying journey, because eventually they realize that with medication, they do lead a normal life.
All right. And you described some pretty subtle nuances when it comes to picking out what is psoriasis and, you know, what is psoriatic arthritis. So if any of you missed the earlier part of my conversation with Dr. Shamala, do look up the podcast on bfm.my or on our BFM app. I've been speaking to Dr. Shamala K. Rajalingam, consultant rheumatologist and exco at the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia about psoriatic arthritis. And we did speak a fair bit about learning to live with COVID-19. Now, managing potential long COVID problems could be something else you're concerned with. If you are, join us at our Health and Living Life event on 18th of June. We'll be devoting a full panel session to discussing that, together with a neurologist, a lung specialist, and a long COVID patient herself. This is a half-day event. Again, that's Saturday, the 18th of June. It's our first in-person event after the pandemic, so I'm looking forward to bringing all of you together, our listeners and our regular experts. So do head over to bfm.my/health event to register, or go to our Facebook page at BFM Radio to find the link to the event page. This has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.